Thank you, Jim.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's indeed a great privilege and blessing to be with you this evening. And I don't mind the snow at all. We had the privilege and the blessing this morning of meeting with our brothers and sisters in Calgill. And we left them all in pretty good spirits, I think. Probably not the best health altogether, but in pretty good spirits. And I do greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's my desire tonight that I would indeed glorify His name as we are assembled together. That my thoughts might be directed to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. The other day I was, reminiscing over some of the sermons that I've heard in past days. And I'm not sure just where or when this scripture was read, but I would like to read it again this evening in the 8th chapter of Romans, and starting with the 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, though through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As we consider the account there, the words of Paul to the Romans, it would sound like we have it, shall we say, all tied up in a bag, it's all made, that nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. Now, my thoughts tonight are not to contradict what Paul has written there, because those things that he accounted for, that is true. There's nothing in this world that can separate us from God, from the love of God. But let's go back and see what this love of God is really is, what he's talking about. In the first book of Nephi, Lehi had a vision, and he recorded it, or told his sons about it, and his family, and those who was with him. Starting in the first book of Nephi, in the second chapter, in the 49th verse, still in the third chapter. Lehi says, and it came to pass that after I prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and beheld that it was the most sweet above all that I'd ever seen, or tasted rather. Yea, I beheld that the fruit thereof was was white, to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. As I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also. For I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. As I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover that my family also, beheld a river of water, and it ran along, as it were, or near the tree in which I was partaking of the fruit. And I looked and beheld from whence it came. And I saw at the head thereof a little way off. At the head thereof I beheld your mother Sarai, or however you say that, and Sam and Nephi. And they stood as if they knew not whether they should go. It came to pass that I beckoned unto them, and I also did say unto them in a loud voice that they should come unto me and partake of the fruit, which was desirable of all other fruit. And it came to pass that they did come unto me and partake of the fruit also. And it came to pass that I desired that Laman and Lemuel should come and partake of the fruit also. Wherefore I cast my eyes toward the head of the river thereof, that I might see them. It came to pass that I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. And beheld a rod of iron, and extended along the bank of the river, and led to the tree by which I stood. I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood, and also led to the head of the fountain, unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. I saw numerous concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led to the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that it did come forth, commenced in the path which led to the tree. It came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced in the path did lose their way, and they wandered off and were lost. It came to pass that beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. They pressed forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come and forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if it were they were ashamed. I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building. And it stood as it were high in the air above the earth. It was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in an attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who came at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted the fruit, they were ashamed because of those who were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. And I, Nephi, did also speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. They pressed their way forward, continued holding to the rod of iron until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And I saw all the multitudes feeling their way towards the great and spacious building. It came to pass that many of them were drowned in the depths of the fountain, and many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads. And great was the multitude that entered into that strange building. And after they entered that building, they did point their fingers and scorn at me, and those who were partaking of the fruit also. But we heeded them not. This is what Nephi described in later when he asked God to see what his father saw as the love of God. I think it's important that we understand how Nephi come to the understanding that that tree was the love of God. Beginning with the ...46th verse of the third chapter. It came to pass the Spirit said unto me, look, and I looked and beheld a tree, and it was like unto the tree which my father had seen, and the beauty thereof was far beyond, yea, exceeding all the beauty, and the whiteness thereof did exceed the whiteness of the driven snow. It came to pass that I have seen the tree, I said unto the Spirit, behold, thou hast shown to me the tree, which is precious above all. And he said unto me, what desirest thou? That's him, to know the interpretation thereof. I spake unto him as a man speaking, for behold, that he was in the form of a man, yet nevertheless I knew that it was the Spirit of the Lord. And he spake unto me as a man speaketh to another. And he came to pass unto me, look, I looked upon him, and I saw him not, for he was gone from my presence. And it came to pass, I looked and beheld that great city Jerusalem, and also other cities. And I beheld the city of Nazareth. In the city of Nazareth I beheld a virgin, and she was exceeding fair and white. And it came to pass I saw the heavens open, and the angel came down and stood before me, and he said unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And he said unto him, I said unto him, a virgin, most beautiful and fair above all of the virgins. And she said, and he said unto me, Knowest thou the condescensions of God? I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I did not know the meaning of all things. He said, Behold, the virgin whom thou seest is the mother of the Son of God, after the manner of the flesh. Came to pass, beheld, that she was carried away in the spirit. And as she had been carried away in the spirit for the space of a time, the angel spake unto me, saying, Look. And looked and beheld the virgin again, bearing a child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, Behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, Yea, it is the love of God, which shed itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men, wherefore it's most desirable above all things. He spake to me, saying, Yea, the most joyous to the soul. And after he said these words, he said to me, Look, and I looked and beheld the Son of God going forth from the children of men, and I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld the rod of iron, which my father saw, was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living water, or the tree of life, which waters are the representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was the representation of the love of God. And the angel said unto me again, Look, and beheld the condescensions of God. And looked and beheld the Redeemer of the world, whom my Father had spoken, and also beheld the prophet who had prepared the way before him. And the Lamb of God went forth and was baptized of him. And after he was baptized, I beheld the heavens open. And the Holy Ghost came down out of heaven and abode upon him in the form of a dove. And beheld that he went forth ministering unto the people with power and great glory. And the multitudes were gathered together to hear him, and behold, they cast him out from among them. And also there were 12 others following him, and it came to pass that they were carried away in the spirit from before my face, and I saw them not. And it came to pass the angel spake unto me again, saying, Look, and I looked and beheld the heavens open, and again I saw the angel descending and the children upon the children of men, and they did minister to them. And he spake to me, saying, Look, and I looked and beheld the Lamb of God going forth among the children of men, and I beheld multitudes of people who were sick, were afflicted in all manner of diseases, and with devils and with unclean spirits. And the angel spake unto me and showed me all these things unto me. And they were healed by the power of the Lamb of God, and the devils and the unclean spirits were cast out. It came to pass, and the angel spake unto me, saying, Look, and I looked and beheld the Lamb of God, that he was taken by the people, yea, the Son of the everlasting God, was judged of the world, and I saw him bear record. Now Nephi saw that he was lifted up on the cross and slain for the sins of the world. And after he was slain, I saw the multitudes of the earth, and they were gathered together to fight against the apostles of the Lamb, for thus the 12 were called by the angel of the Lord. The multitude of the earth were gathered together, behold, and beheld that they were in a large and spacious building, like unto the building which my father saw. And the angel of the Lord spake to me again, saying, Behold, the world and the wisdom thereof. Yea, behold, the house of Israel hath gathered together to fight against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Came to pass, I saw and bear record that the great and spacious building was the pride of the world. And it fell, and the fall thereof was exceeding great. And the angel spoke unto me again, saying, Thus shall be the destruction of all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people that shall fight against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And then he goes on to talk about Nephi's seed and the things that lie before them. Nephi and Sam and his mother and father partook of that tree, but his two brothers didn't, Laman and Lemuel. What separated them from the tree? What separated them from the tree? It was their rebellion. they would not submit themselves. It was a lack of humility. And what is the opposite of humility? But pride. That pride which Nephi saw was the activity or the thought or the drive that was the force among the people in that great and special building. The wisdom of the world and the pride thereof that separated them from that tree of life, from the love of God. And the thing that seems so significant to me was a part of that vision, or the thing that was shown to Nephi in that vision, they given to him to know what the tree was. All the angel showed him was the birth of Christ. That's all he showed him. He said, now do you know what the tree is? He said, yea. It's the love of God. The third chapter in John tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should have everlasting life. But if we would go to that and go back to the fifth verse, not 3:16, but 3:5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Sever one that is born of the Spirit. And so it is. At least difficult for me to put into words the love of God and what it means to us. We're told in the Book of Mormon that God prepared a plan of salvation from the foundation of the world. And it was built around His Word, His Gospel. And as Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? The rock that he was the Son of the living God. He was the gift of God to the world. That is what the church is built on. That is the love of God and the joy that comes to us. As we read over there about Christ when he was baptized, I think it probably wasn't in the reading that I read, but in the book, in the Bible, it tells us there when he was baptized that he came to John and asked to be baptized, and he said, John said, no, I won't baptize you because you're greater than I am and I should be baptized of you. And what was Christ's answer? Be it so. It behooveth us to be full of all righteousness. And Nephi in his account here says, if the Holy One of Israel, the Son of God, being holy, needed to be baptized, then most certainly we who are unholy need to be baptized in water. And we're promised that after that, that Christ was baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And again, the joy that is ours because of that is unspeakable. And it would seem that at least some of the religious of the day have taken that condition that explained there in, I believe it's the third chapter of Acts, second or third, which was it? Second. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were all gathered together, and the Holy Ghost was given to him. And they spoke with new tongues, and they prophesied. And there must have been something about it that was very spectacular to the people around them, because there was in that room, that assembly, people of many different languages and nationalities. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not these that speak Galileans? And now hearest we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born." The Perithians, the Medes, and the Emilites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, in all Judea and Caspitonia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and whatever it was there in Egypt, and in parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. And it appears that they have allowed themselves to be taken up with things like that and have fabricated by one means or another the reactions that they perceived that probably took place here. It was told there that the way that leads us to that tree of life, the love of God, is the Word of God, the rod of iron. And yet we're told what happened to that rod of iron. If we would turn to back to the third chapter of 1 Nephi and third chapter and 158th verse, rather. As it went on, and Nephi saw the things that was transpire among his people, and that the Gentiles would come into this land, and after their own people, his own seed, had dwindled in unbelief, they brought with them a book. And the angel said unto me, "Knowest thou the meaning of the book?" And I said unto him, "I know not." That's on page 35 and 159 and 158. He said to me, "Beholdest thou, it proceeds forth from the mouth of the Jews, and I beheld it." And he said to me, "The book which thou beholdest is the record of the Jews, which contains the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And also contains many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. And it is a record like unto the engravings which are upon the place of brass, save it be there not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. Wherefore they have great worth unto the Gentiles." The angel of the Lord said unto me, "Thou hast beheld that the book proceedeth forth out of the mouth of the Jew. It proceedeth forth from the mouth of the Jew. It contained the plainness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record, and they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles, according to the truth which is in God. And if they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the foundation of a great and abominable church, which is most abominable of all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts, which are plain and most precious, and also many covenants of the Lord which are taken away. And all this have they done, that they might pervert the right ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore thou seest that after the book had gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, that there were many plain and precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God. And after these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth into the nations of the Gentiles, and it goeth forth into all the nations of the Gentiles. And after it goeth forth into all the nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters which thou hast seen with the Gentiles, which have gone forth out of the captivity, Thou seest because of the many plain and precious things which were taken away out of the book, which were plain and precious to the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which is in the Lamb of God. Behold, these things which are taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceeding great many do stumble, yea, insomuch as Satan hath great power over them. Nevertheless, thou beholdest that the Gentiles who have gone forth out of captivity have been lifted up by the power of God above all the nations and upon the face of the land, which is a choice above all other lands, which is the land that God hath covenanted with thy father, that his seed should have the land for their inheritance, and will not utterly destroy the mixture of thy seed which among thy brethren. Neither will he suffer the Gentiles shall destroy the seed of thy brethren. Neither will the Lord of God suffer the Gentiles shall forever remain in that awful state of blindness which thou beholdest that they are in, because the plain and most precious things, parts of the gospel of the Lamb, have been kept back from by that great and abominable church from the foundation which thou hast seen. Wherefore saith the Lamb, I will be merciful to the Gentiles, to visiting the remnant of the house of Israel in great judgment. It came to pass that angels, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of whom I speak is the seed of thy father, wherefore I have visited them in judgment, and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles. And after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious part of the gospel of which the Lamb which had been kept back for the great and abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will merciful the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth to them in mine own power much of my gospel, which be plain and precious unto the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I'll manifest myself unto thy seed, and they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which be plain and precious. Hence thy seed shall be destroyed and dwell in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren. Behold, these things shall be hid up and come forth unto Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock, my salvation. And blessed are they who seek and bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. If they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day, and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Whosoever shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful the mountains are they shall they be. It came to pass that I beheld the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the book, the Lamb of God, which proceeded forth out of the mouth of the Jews, that it came forth from the Gentiles to the remnant of the seed of my brethren. And so forth. I hope you get the point that he's giving here. That this rod of iron that led to the tree of life was distorted. It was changed so that the Gentiles would stumble and fall. We're all aware, I think, that, and I read there where, as Christ was laboring there in Jerusalem, that the house of Israel took him and judged him and crucified him. Were they separated from the love of God? Apparently they were. What separated them from the love of God? The pride of the world. Their own stubbornness. What separates us? The same thing. The same thing. But we have an advantage over most of the world, because he had brought back and given to us that record he spoke of the seed of Nephi and his brethren, with the whole, the plain and precious things that were kept back from the record of the Jew. He has healed his word. He has healed it and is standing upon his feet. What then will separate us from the love of God? Only one thing. Only one thing. Pride and wisdom of the world. The best example we have of being separated from that word is found in the fourth book of Nephi. We know, most of us, I think, what happened to the people upon this land when Christ came. Throughout the third book of Nephi, most near, the whole book is about Christ's ministry unto the people upon this land, and his establishment of the church among them, his choosing of the 12 disciples. Yes, and he gave him the Sermon on the Mount. This morning, Brother Lauren there in Georgeville read the Sermon on the Mount from the Book of Mormon. And he said, you know, it was a Sermon on the Mount, but I think it's good for the plains too. It's good for us. It was preached in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, but it's preached into the whole world, whatever the terrain may be. And it was the plan of God unto mankind. In that sermon, he outlined that plan in very detail. I don't believe there is a phase of our lives that it doesn't touch. It touches our attitude. The first few verses is called The Attitudes. It touches our attitude and tells us how we should think, what our desires and our hopes and our aims should be. And he goes on to tell us that we should be the light of the world, to set upon a candlestick where all can see it, and not covered up with a bushel. He told us that we should be the salt of the earth, that would salt the earth and give it savor. And he said, if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? I've heard it said that Christianity has failed because we have not salted the earth. Well, the earth isn't over yet. And it's not foretold that all will partake of the love of God. Only those who humble themselves can partake of that love of God. Only those who meet the standards that he has made shall inherit the kingdom of God. But what I was saying was that following the Sermon on the Mount and his teachings and his establishment of the church and the instructions to his ministry, the establishment of the partaking of his flesh and blood in remembrance of him, of Jesus Christ, he's with them only 3 days, as I understand it. He taught them everything he taught the Jews, or tried to teach the Jews, in 3 years. And they accepted it. And there was righteousness in the land. It says that they came to him in the last chapter of that book, wanting to know what they should call the church. And they were fasting and praying that to know what they should call a church. And he said, why does this bother you? What's your problem? Haven't you not read that you must take upon you my name, which is Jesus Christ? For in the last age you should be called by that name. He said, if you're called by any other name, you're not my church. And there should be many who will be called by other names. If they be called the name of a man, then it's the church of a man. And he said it would prosper, probably, as many of them do and are. He said, by and by, they'll be burned. Is that what we want? I think not. But they went on ahead, those people there, and they established a community that covered the whole area. How much is the whole area? I don't know. It was all the area that the Book of Mormon covers. And how far they had gone by that time, I do not know. Or whether there was others around that were not there, I don't know. We know that Christ did not go to all of Europe when he was in Jerusalem. He was there to minister unto the house of Israel. And he told them when he left there that I will go to the other lost sheep, the rest of the house of Israel. He came here. And then he said, I've got other sheep yet. And we're told that those all will come together in the last days. And they bring with them their record. And they will all agree. They will all agree. Even as this word and this word agree. No, even though the most plain and precious things were taken out of the record of the Jews, the record which are given to us by the mouth of those men of this area and this day and that day, through the abridgment of Mormon and Moroni, they agree with that of the Jews. But they have all the plain and precious things there that we need to know the plan of God. And so they built their lives around those principles, those attitudes, the plan of God. And it said in the fourth book of Nephi and on page 685. No, I skipped over too far. Let's start with verse 15 on 683. Came fast in the 71st year passed away, in the 72nd year, yea, even in fine until the 79th year had passed away, even until the 100 years had passed away. The disciples of Jesus whom he had chosen had all gone to the paradise of God, save it be the three who should tarry. And we know that there were three of those who desired to tarry upon the earth as long as the earth should stand and not die. And they had a change made in them, that they could do that, just like John the Revelator, or the Beloved, was given. Even though the history tried to tell us that John the Beloved died at about 90 AD, they can't tell you where, and they can't tell you anything else about him. But this book tells us that he didn't die at all. He is there like these three. And we do not know their names, at least I don't. One thing it seems quite certain that it said that Nephi, that's not the Nephi that came here in Lehi, but his descendant, Nephi, was not one of them. Because it tells you here that Nephi also died. Said there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and as many of that generation had passed away, and it came to pass that they were no contentions in the land, because the love of God was dwelled in the hearts of the people. Because of the love of God that dwelt in the hearts of the people, there was no contentions in all the land. And there were no envies, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not have been a happier people among all the people who had ever had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, nor murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any Moabites, but they were all in one the children of Christ and heirs of the kingdom of God. And they were blessed. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Yea, even they were blessed and prospered until the 110 years had passed away, and the first generation of Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in the land. enjoyed a good portion of what is being prescribed here or told of here. I think perhaps that we could improve that joy. But I know that the love and of God that I have felt in my life has been beyond words. At least beyond my words. And beyond the understanding of the world who does not know it. For they think it is of no worth. And just like they did there in the vision of Lehi and Nephi, they scoff at us, they mock us. But we need to be like Nephi and those to pay him no attention. Pay him no attention. For we know the God that we serve and we know his love. We know the plan of salvation. We know the end thereof. Either way, we know the end thereof. And we know that the only end that is worth working for is to be with God in Christ in his kingdom, in the new world, the everlasting kingdom of God. Going to the 22nd verse, it came to pass that Nephi had kept the last record, and he kept it upon the place of Nephi, died. And also Amos kept it in his stead, and he kept it upon the place of brass of Nephi also. He kept it for 84 years, and there was still peace in the land, save it were a small part of the people who had revolted from the church and took upon them the name of Lamanites. Therefore there began to be Lamanites again in the land. It came to pass that Amos also died. That it was 190 years and 4 years from the coming of Christ. His son Amos kept a record in his stead, and he also kept it upon the place of Nephi. It was also written in the book of Nephi, which is this book. It came to the pass that 200 years had passed away, and a second generation had passed away, save it were but few. And now I, Mormon, would that ye should know that the people had multiplied insomuch that they were spread upon all the face of the land to become exceeding rich, because of the prosperity in Christ. And now in this 201st year, there began to be among those who were lifted up in pride, which were wearing a costly apparel and all manner of fine pearls and fine things of the world. And from that time forth did they have their goods no and their substance no more common among them. And they began to be divided into classes, and they began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain, and to begin to deny the true church of Christ. And it came to pass that 210 years passed away, and there were many churches in the land. Yea, there were many churches that professed to know Christ, and yet they did deny the more part of his gospel, insomuch that they deceive all manner of wickedness, and did administer that which was sacred unto him whom it should be forbidden because of unworthiness. And the church did multiply exceedingly because of iniquity, and because of the power of Satan which they get hold of their hearts. And again, there was another church which denied the church. They denied the Christ, and they did persecute the true church of Christ because of their humility and their belief in Christ. And they despised them because of the many miracles were wrought among them. And they did exercise power and authority over the disciples of Jesus, who did tarry with them. And they did cast them to prison by the power of the word of God, which was in them. The prisons were rent in twain, and they went forth doing mighty miracles among them. Nevertheless, notwithstanding all these miracles, the people did harden their hearts and did seek to kill them, even as the Jews at Jerusalem sought to kill Jesus, according to his word. And it said they went in and cast them into fire furnaces, and they came forth receiving no harm, and they also cast them into dens of beasts, wild beasts, and they did play with the wild beasts, even as a child with a lamb, and they came forth among them receiving no harm. Nevertheless, the people did harden their hearts, for they were led in many by many priests and false prophets to build up many churches and to do all manner of iniquity. They were separated from the love of God because of the wisdom of the world and the pride thereof. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, in sixth chapter rather, you probably know what I'm going to read there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember, it's the Satan, the devil, that's seeking to destroy us, and is written in the Book of Mormon, that he's seeking to make all men as miserable as he is, and he knows his end. He knows what he's done, and he wants everybody to be as miserable as he. And so that's what we're fighting against, not against flesh and blood. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul in his to the Romans there said that principalities and powers could not separate us from the love of God. No, it will not, unless we let it separate us. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins, the vital parts of your body, girded about by truth, the Word of God, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And that's the heart area. From our heart is supposed to come righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, not to run quickly into evil, but with the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's through faith that we can resist the mocking and the scoffing and the persecution. Because Christ said there in the Sermon on the Mount that we're blessed because we're persecuted falsely for His name's sake. But make sure it's falsely. The fiery dart, the shield of faith will protect us from these scoffings and fiery darts of our adversary. And we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all supplications in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Not just for me, but for all the saints. No, Christ said that he would not lose any that God had given him, save it be the son of perdition. But it's quite evident that those who refuse will not enjoy the love of Christ. And what is the love of Christ? It's pretty much in those Beatitudes I spoke of there Book of Mormon, and also the fifth chapter of Matthew. It's laid out in the fifth chapter of Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the afflictions. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I think the last verse there is very important. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, or provoking one another, or envying one another. To me, this all points out to what is written in the 7th chapter of Moroni and the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. His talk starts talking there about hope. What should we hope for? And I trust that we're all hoping for eternal life. But it said if we have hope, we must also have faith. And what should we hope for? And like I said, eternal life. But it said if we have faith and hope, we must be lowly in heart. And if we're lowly in heart, we must be meek. And if we're meek and lowly of heart, we must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, is kind, and envieth not, is not puffed up, and seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, no evil, and thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleaveth in charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is a pure love of Christ, and endureth forever, and whosoever found possessing of it the last day is to be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your heart, that you may be filled with this love, that you may be that he hath bestowed upon all those who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, and they become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. We hear every once in a while that we do not have that love of God. We do not have the miracles that is mentioned there that Christ performed and that his apostles performed after his departure. And I think we've heard many comments on this, but I would only ask us to look at our own selves and see how many miracles we have had in our lives. How many times has God blessed us beyond that which we are worthy? And again, we do not always know what God's will is. I'm reminded of the time when Alma and Amulek, after they had been down into the land there where the Lamanites were and converted many of them, that there were those who rose up against them and took them as prisoners. And to punish Alma and Amulek and perhaps scare the life out of them, they took those who they had converted and burned them with fire, men, women, and children. And Amulek looked at Alma and he said, "Let's stop it. Let's stop it. Don't let that happen. It's terrible." Alma said, "No, that's not God's will. That's not God's will. We must let them do what they will, that their judgment may be just. But those who they have burned with fire are received into the paradise of God. They have won their race. They have proved faithful unto the word of God. And though they lost their life, they gained it." And so it is that we may too sometime have to go through the same thing. We do not know. But whatever it is, we need to be prepared not to deny the love of God. Not to deny the Holy Ghost, and not deny Jesus Christ. To hold fast to that rod of iron and faint not, for that is our hope. We are living in a perilous time, and I think the occasions and the effects of the things of the day are pretty well proof that we are in the last days. How long they will last, I don't know. It don't make much difference. What makes a difference is, what will I do in my last day? Will I hold fast to the rod of iron? Or will I give in? And as Job was asked, curse God and die. No. No. I will not do that. If God will give me the strength, and He will, hold fast to the rod of iron.
Thank you. I do recall that I mentioned we'd go through the announcements. Presumably tomorrow night is our study class at 7 p.m. Wednesday will be prayer meeting at 7. Saturday, the junior young people are going to meet here at the church, have a luncheon.